Welcome to the Certainty Advice Podcast, where advice starts with your best interests in mind, helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with another in the Seeking Certainty Advice podcast series, where we aim to help more Australians like yourselves find greater financial certainty in your busy lives, covering the trends to understand and also the pitfalls to avoid as the emerging new world of financial advice comes about. Key to advice for us is ensuring the advice you receive has no real or perceived conflict that's been dominated in the old world of products and advice. But today, we're talking about superannuation, realizing the great expectations have always been promised in the 20, 21 years it's been around. If you've at all been interested in the recent Royal Commission, you'd be right to consider that others maybe are making more money from your money in super than you are, which you've been forced to put money into. Virtually all of the big financial services companies, National Australia Bank, Commonwealth Bank, ANZ, AMP, IOOF, Suncorp, at least at the time of recording, have, according to the Royal Commission, contravened superannuation and corporations law. But what's even more interesting, it seems, is that the executives and the management of these groups seem to have treated their contravening more like one might treat a speeding fine rather than a criminal act. And so it's been drawn to their attention that this may be, in fact, criminal act with criminal consequences. But anyway, today I'm lucky enough to have Scott Farmer. Scott's the owner and director of the great boutique advisory firm in Canberra called Bravium, bravium.com.au. It's an award-winning firm in smart new offices in the cafe end, as I call it, of Lonsdale Street. Scott, Sam, and their team serve small business, growing families, defence specialists, and a growing client base, who all just seek advice with integrity. So today we're talking about realising the great expectations from super, particularly in light of the Royal Commission. Key things for me to listen out for is what are the three questions that, if you've got superannuation, you really need answered from the person providing you with superannuation services or advice. Also interesting, Scott's views on what are the two types of superannuation member. And the third thing to listen out for is Scott's view on what happens as the funds managing your super inevitably turn into technology companies. But I started by asking Scott, what's wrong with superannuation in Australia today?
I think overall the superannuation system is very good. I don't think there's fundamentally problems with it. However, as with many things, there's a lot of things that could improve. I guess when there's so much money involved, you end up with individuals and organisations who are going to be attracted to the idea of taking advantage and looking to benefit themselves. And that, I think, is a difficult problem to overcome. But, you know, when you look at the history of superannuation, I think it has improved a lot already, particularly in relation to things like the cost of superannuation has come down a lot over the years. It has fundamentally been driven, I think, by consumers. And you know, my belief is that that's probably where most of the answers lie as well.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott, Australians are fairly apathetic towards superannuation, even though it probably is going to be a sizable asset for them, you know, in the top three at least. For people listening to this now, you know, how is it going to be more appealing, this big asset they've got?
Yeah, well, that is the problem. I mean, there's been various studies in years gone by, and I think, you know, a lot of them tend to point to that sort of $100,000 mark as being relevant when a lot of Australians tend to notice their superannuation. And so, you know, I think there's certainly an element to play with education. Superannuation, I think, can be probably broken into two groups, or consumers can be broken into two groups, and one is those who receive advice and the other is those who don't. And they're quite different, I guess, when you think about how they use superannuation. If you're using the services of an advisor, there's a process that goes into developing an optimal way to invest and utilize the superannuation scheme. For those who don't use an advisor, there tends to be no thought at all that goes into how their superannuation is being managed, and that's why I think these default funds become so important, because Australians aren't making any decisions for themselves, so they're left at the mercy of these big schemes. And so I think education absolutely plays a role, but how do you get these Australians more interested in their superannuation is probably a million-dollar question.
Scott, we're just in the throes still of the Royal Commission. Again, what do you believe will be one of the outcomes of the Royal Commission from a regulatory perspective, the path that the major players will be playing as a consequence of what we've heard at the Royal Commission, and what should people listening to this podcast be expecting now as a consequence of the Royal Commission?
Yeah, well, I think superannuation, if you break it down, you know, I think their role really is a technology provider, not a fund manager. And a lot of what was covered in the Royal Commission, part of it was focused on what are the returns that the default funds are providing to members. And if you think about that, that means that the super fund itself is playing a role as a fund manager, or at least selecting fund managers and having a say in where an Australian's superannuation money is invested and what sort of return and risk they're taking. But I think superannuation really is a technology solution where they're providing a technology platform that allows certain features and functionality to happen in an efficient way and at a low cost. And the funds management and investment decisions should be left to consumers, advisors and fund managers, and that would dramatically change the landscape, because it's not HUB24's role to be making decisions, I don't think, on how someone's money's invested. I think their role is to deliver functionality, choices and the lowest cost possible. And the lower we can get cost, obviously, you know, there's no risk involved for an investor in ending up with more money in their superannuation fund if they can lower fees. So I think, you know, in many ways that as funds grow in size, what they should be leveraging is technology to improve the way the superannuation industry operates for Australians.
So, Scott, do you believe that Australians can really look after themselves effectively in the current superannuation system?
Well, like all things, I guess, you know, it's the individual's responsibility, and whether they look to outsource that in some way is a decision they could make. But at the moment, you know, it's a third party by default is making those decisions on their behalf. And so I think there needs to be more work around involving Australians in the decision as to what they want their superannuation fund to do. And in some ways, maybe there's too much choice for some Australians.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it needs to be simplified, but there's a role, I think, as we said before, around education to getting Australians more involved in these decisions. And, it, you know, for most Australians these days, superannuation is likely to be, if not the largest asset in their future lives, it's certainly going to be the second largest after their home.
Yeah. So, Scott, if you were head of superannuation policy, and at the time of recording, we don't really know who that is in the change of chairs in the Liberal Party, but if you were head of the superannuation policy, what would be the number one thing you would change about superannuation policy?
Education. I would put it in the lap of superannuation providers to provide a level of education to members. I think that's important because most of the positive change has really been driven by consumers. If you think about where the superannuation industry was, or even you know, the door-to-door life insurance salesman from 20 years ago, improvements have been driven by consumers, and it's been a dramatic improvement over those years. You know, when you think about what costs were even 10 years ago compared to today, we're in a significantly better position now. You know, consumers will continue to drive those outcomes. And, you know, the Royal Commission's a good example of that. I think now consumers are more aware of the issues such as vertical integration, and so they'll demand the change.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott, for people listening to you now on this podcast who had money in superannuation, what are the three questions that you'd be recommending they know the answers to?
Number one is certainly the cost that I'm paying to have my superannuation invested with the fund. I think number two is how is the super fund putting my interests first? And three is, you know, what future changes are they looking to implement to improve my lot?
So, Scott, just there on the fees question, what is too expensive? What do you think in this day and age is the top range of fees that people should be paying on their superannuation?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a huge range still in fees across superannuation schemes, and so it could be difficult, I guess, if you have no background in the industry to understand what is cheap, I guess, and what is expensive. But in this day and age, I think if you're paying 1% in superannuation, that's probably expensive. That's probably where I'd mark it.
So, Scott, sorry to press you, but what is a good rate? Despite the many variations of fees, what is a good rate that people should be paying on superannuation?
It depends a little bit, you know, with the way superannuation funds price. A lot of them are still tiered fees, but I would say depending on balance, it's probably between about 60 and 80 basis points.
Mm-hmm. Scott, superannuation is only going to grow. And so what do you think are some of the consequences as it does grow, as Australians want more clarity and certainty regarding what their superannuation can do for them?
Yeah, I still think there's, this issue with best interest duty that advisors face, and superannuation funds still looking to provide better deals for larger financial organisations, financial advice organisations, which means that smaller firms are at a significant disadvantage. And ultimately, when you think about it, the reason for that is simply super funds are trying to maximise profits by attracting large firms with large numbers of advisors with large amounts of funds under management. And I think there's an inequity there. And those sorts of issues, I think, probably something that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. It should be a level playing field.
Well, there you have it. Scott Farmer, Principal Director of Bravium in Braddon in Canberra. Well, what's your take from that? I got three things from listening to Scott. You should not be paying more than 60 basis points or 0.6% or $600 for every $100,000 you got in your super for them to manage and control and advise you on your super if it's just a super alone type transaction looking after super. Two is this Scott's concept of best interest, which is there's no real or perceived conflict in any payment associated with your superannuation. There's no other benefactor, there's no one else potentially getting a benefit from your money in super being paid for by the superannuation fund. And thirdly, education. You know, like you're going to a good doctor who educates you on better health habits, eating habits, exercise habits, so too your superannuation fund, whether it's you're paying them lots in there or virtually nothing in there, they should be educating you. And if you're not, then it's to consider other options. So if you feel like you are paying more than $600 per every $100,000, if you're not getting clear answers on are they really genuinely serving your best interests and you're not getting educated, then consider maybe looking for a better deal. So there you have another great advisor, Scott Farmer, changing the perception of what actually is professional advice day by day with he and his team in Braddon down in Canberra. And they're making a great difference in their clients' lives, putting them more on paths like every certainty advisor rather than putting them specifically into products where there may be commissions or other payments being made. But the key to everything they do is the professional care, the professional direction, and also the confidence they give their clients. Love to hear your feedback on this one. As with all our Certainty Advice podcasts, I really hope this is helping you lead better, clearer lives in greater financial certainty. Cheers for now. Jim Stackpole signing out.
Thanks for listening to the Certainty Advice podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access all the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, please head on over to seekingcertainty.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. Seekingcertainty.com.